It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LePonier. In this hour, mystery. In a while, we'll hear a study of a murderer on suspense. Right now, it's one of the masters of mystery, Agatha Christie, with her story, The Tragedy of Marsden Manor on Murder Clinic, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from October 6th, 1942.
Murder Clinic, stories of the world's great detectives of fiction. Men against murder. Each week at this time, WOR Mutual turns the spotlight on one of the great figures of crime detection and brings you his most exciting case. Tonight, Agatha Christie's unique detective Hercule Poirot in the tragedy at Marsden Manor. Evening, Monsieur Poirot. I'd recognize you anywhere, I think, thanks to those magnificent mustachios of yours.
Merci bien. They are very magnificent, no?
They are indeed. Tell me, did they help you solve the tragedy at Marsden Manor?
No. It was the little gray cells in the brain of the great Hercule Poirot that prevented this great miscarriage of justice in the death of Richard Maltravers of Marsden Manor. It all began in the little village of Marsden Lee, less than 100 kilometers from London.
Coming.
Yes, what is it?
Be you Dr. Bernard?
Yes, I am.
Come quick, the master's done for.
You mean Mr. Maltravers of the manor?
Aye, the master. The mistress, she says, fetch the doctor, she says. But it be no use. He's a dead un. I knows a dead un when I see un.
What was it, man? An accident?
No, be no accident. I found him in the lower meadow, with the blood running out of his mouth. Be a stroke.
A stroke?
That's what it be.
Well, hurry, man, let's go.
Come now, Mrs. Maltravers. You must get hold of yourself. The Lord give it and the Lord take it away. After all, we are all of us mortals.
Richard, he was so good, so kind. Why did this have to happen to him?
Oh, come, please.
He seemed so well, so full of life. Why, only last week he passed a medical examination for insurance. How could he have died so suddenly? Doctor, what happened?
A hemorrhage due to stomach ulcers, undoubtedly, resulting in a stroke.
Mr. Hyde.
Hello, Poirot.
You know my good friend, Captain Hastings, no?
Good morning, Captain Hastings. Good
morning, sir.
Well, Poirot, you got my message, I see.
I did. What is it that disturbs you, mon ami? Richard Maltravers dies. You sent for Poirot. What was the cause of Monsieur Maltravers' death?
The death certificate says a hemorrhage resulting in a stroke due to stomach ulcers.
But surely you did not bring Papa Poirot here to talk of the stomach ulcer. This Richard Maltravers had taken out the insurance policy in your company, no?
And what a policy. For £50,000.
Well, good square sum, that, eh?
Rather.
So, what is it you wish me to do? It is unfortunate for your company, but everything seems, open and above the plank, no?
No, Poirot. Open and above board.
Ah, my good friend, the great Hastings. Always he corrects the English of Hercule Poirot. Monsieur Wright, I ask you, do I not speak the English of a super?
You do indeed. But to get back to your previous question, what my company wishes you to do is to investigate the circumstances of Mr. Maltravers' death.
So, what is it you suspect, mon ami?
Well, of course you know in the case of suicide, the policy is invalid.
Yes.
And when a man past the prime of life takes out an unusually large policy in favor of a young wife half his age and then dies within 2 weeks, the possibility of suicide cannot be ignored.
Of a certainty, mon ami. But suicide by hemorrhage? That is a queer saucepan of fish. Now, if the cause of death had been heart failure, then I would smell a mouse. Heart failure can always mean that a stupid doctor did not find the true cause. But hemorrhage, ma foi. Hemorrhage.
Exactly. Nevertheless, we are determined to proceed with the matter. You will undertake the inquiry?
But of course. Hastings, that great professor of English, shall go with me. Hey, mon ami?
Gladly, Poirot.
Eh bien. Now, where is this place, this Marsden Manor?
You take the Great Eastern Line from Liverpool Station to the little town of Marsden Lee. Marsden Manor is about a mile from the village.
Marsden Lee. All right, Hastings, we go.
Marsden Lee, eh? I hope we can get a conveyance up to the manor.
Ticket, sir.
Here you are, my friend.
I suppose you'll be coming down for the funeral, sir.
Funeral? What funeral?
You say you've made the funeral of Master Maltravers. But the manor.
Oh, you say the manor. Could that be Marsden Manor?
Aye, it be.
That is an odd coincidence. My friend and I, we have come down with a thought of buying this Marsden Manor.
You couldn't pay me to live there, you couldn't.
Why not?
It be haunted.
Haunted?
Aye, haunted. Seen things there, folks says.
Yeah, we should see. Now, could you tell us where Dr. Bernard lives?
Aye, up yon hill, about half a mile.
Well, come, Hastings. Dr. Bernard, that you signed the death certificate of a Mr. Richard Maltravers.
Yes, I did.
You understand, Doctor, with such a big policy, we must make the careful investigation.
Of course. I suppose he was such a rich man, his life was insured for a big sum.
You consider him a rich man, Doctor?
Well, was he not? He kept two cars, you know, and Marsden Manor is a pretty big place to keep up. Although I believe he bought it very cheaply.
I understand he had considerable losses of late.
That's so, indeed. It's fortunate for his widow, then, that there is this insurance.
Yes.
Very beautiful and charming young creature, but terribly unstrung by this sad catastrophe. I've tried to spare her all I could, but of course the shock has been very great.
Why shock? These ulcers of the stomach, they are what you call chronic,
yes,
eh?
Yes.
They are not sudden.
No.
Did you not attend Mr. Maltravers before, Doctor?
My dear sir, I never attended him.
What?
I understand Mr. Maltravers was a member of a faith-healing sect.
But you examined the body?
Certainly. I was fetched by one of the under-gardeners.
And the cause of death was clear?
Absolutely. There was blood on the lips, but most of the bleeding must have been internal.
He had not been moved?
No, the body hadn't been touched. He had evidently been out shooting crows, and a long-barreled bird gun lay beside him. The hemorrhage must have occurred quite suddenly. Gastric ulcers, without a doubt.
He could not have been shot, huh?
My dear sir,
I beg pardon. But I remember once a doctor who said heart failure until the constable showed him a bullet wound through the head.
You will find no bullet wounds on the body or head of Mr. Maltravers. Now, gentlemen, if there's nothing further,
Thank you, Doctor. Just one more thing. You saw no need for the autopsy, huh?
Certainly not. The cause of death was perfectly clear. In my profession, we see no need to distress unduly the relatives of a dead patient. Now, gentlemen, if you'll pardon me, good day.
Well, Hastings, what do you think of our good Dr. Bernard?
Bit of an old fool.
Precisely. Your judgments of character are always profound, mon ami. Except where a young and beautiful woman is concerned. So now you must mind your Q's and P's, because the good doctor has said that the next one we see is both young and beautiful. This Madame Maltravers. I cannot tell you how I am sorry to bother you in this way.
Must I be bothered now? I know nothing about this insurance of my husband.
Courage, madame. It is necessary. I will do all to make this matter not too unpleasant for you. I, Hercule Poirot, swear it. Now, if you would recount briefly the sad events of last Wednesday, huh?
Well, I was changing for tea when the maid came up. One of the gardeners had just run up to the house. He'd found Richard.
No, I comprehend. Enough. You had seen your husband earlier in the afternoon?
No, not since lunch. I'd walked down to the village for some stamps. I believe he was out pottering around the ground.
Shooting the crows, no?
Yes, so I understand. He usually took his bird gun with him. In fact, I heard one or two shots at a distance.
Oh, where is this bird gun now?
Why, in the gun cabinet over there, I suppose.
With your permission, madame. Yeah, here it is.
Ah, two shots fired, I see. And now, madame, a delicate question.
Monsieur Maltravers, your husband, is awaiting burial, I believe.
Yes. He's lying in his room.
If I might see?
Why, yes, of course. It's the first room at the top of the stairs. You'll forgive me if I don't go with you.
What of course. Hastings, you remain here with madame.
Do you think Mr. Poirot will understand why I didn't go with him?
I can assure you, Mrs. Maltravers, Poirot is most sympathetic.
I don't doubt it, Mr. Hastings. I only wish there was more that I could tell him.
Oh, I understand. But I wonder, Mrs. Maltravers, if you could tell me one thing.
Oh, yes?
Well, the station master, an odd character named Volks, said something about Marsden Manor being haunted.
Marsden Manor haunted? Why, surely you're joking, Mr. Hastings.
Oh, no, no, I assure you. He told us that people have seen things.
We must have been referring to my humble experiments in extrasensory perception. I've always been tremendously intrigued by that subject, and doubtless some of our servants have been gossiping.
Madame, you are mediumistic. How fascinating.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, Mr. Poirot. I've dabbled a bit, that's all.
So?
I've managed table levitation and simple things like that.
Hmm.
But I suppose to the simple rustics around here, it looks like black magic.
Very interesting. Under kinder circumstances, I would implore a demonstration.
Why, are you interested in such things, Mr. Poirot?
All fields of knowledge interest the great Poirot.
Poirot, don't you think perhaps we'd better...
Oh, I forgot, madame. I thank you for your so great courtesy. I do not think you need be bothered any further by the matter. By the way, do you know anything of your husband's financial position?
Nothing whatever, I'm afraid. I'm very stupid about business.
I see. Then you can give us no clue as to why your husband suddenly decided to insure his life.
Oh, was it sudden? I'm sure I don't know.
Enfin. And now, with your permission, madame, we will go. Hastings?
Oh, I'll see you to the door.
Merci. Oh, just one more thing, madame. Could you tell me, when they found Mr. Maltravers, did they find him unshod without the shoes?
Why, really, Mr. Poirot, I don't understand.
It is nothing. It does not matter. And now, madame, adieu. Oh, but look, you have another visitor. Someone is coming up to walk, huh?
Archie!
Hello,
you! Wait, I thought you were on your way back to Australia.
Yes, I was. But I read the news of Uncle's death in Paris and hurried back. Emily, my dear, is there anything I can do for you? Anything?
Oh, of course not. What could you do? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. Mr. Poirot, this is Captain Black, my husband's nephew. Captain Black, Mr. Hastings.
How Emily, how did this happen? Uncle seemed perfectly well when I was here Monday night.
You've evidently read the papers, Archie. You must know what happened.
But they gave no details, just the bare notice of his death. What happened?
Archie, I just can't go through all that again.
Yes, Captain Black, I'm afraid my friend and I, we have disturbed madame.
What are you doing here?
I am Hercule Poirot, the Hercule Poirot.
Mr. Poirot is from the insurance company, Archie.
That's just why I've come back. To protect you from annoyances like this.
You shouldn't have risked your job, Archie. If you left right away, you might still get to Paris in time to make your boat train.
You say Paris, mon capitaine. You go to Australia by way of Paris?
Why, yes. I intended taking the Orient Express from there and pick up the Pacific Mail at Port Said.
Ah, oui. That shortens the journey, does it not? You are staying here, Captain Black?
Yes, I'm staying at the Pig and Thistle. That's the inn down in the village.
Aye, village inn. It serves the roast beef, no?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Good. So, Hastings, let us try this roast beef at the Pig and Thistle, huh?
All right, Poirot. Now you've had your roast beef. Hadn't we better be getting back to London?
London? She will not run away. But this Captain Black, he may do so. A garçon... Garçon!
For heaven's sake, Poirot. English inns don't have garçons.
No? Then who is it who approaches?
What do you have, Governor?
For my friend, the dictionary. For me, a buck.
He means beer, George.
I mean the ale.
Righto, Governor. You've been up at the manor, sir?
Yes, we have.
It's sad business, that. I knew no good had come of it as soon as they took the manor.
You mean this, Maltravers? They were not popular?
Well, not that, Governor. He was a bit too old for her, if you know what I mean.
Awesome.
She might better have married the nephew. Leastways, I'll bet a bob the nephew thought so.
Ah, there has been the gossip, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as that, Governor. But he did hang around a bit.
And the husband, Mr. Maltravers? He object?
Not as I knows of, Governor. But why is my opinion, I ain't.
Without the doubt, it is the worst opinion, no, George?
But, the Captain Black, here he comes now.
Hello, Poirot, here you are.
Captain Black, come, will you not join us? Bock, perhaps?
Yes, thanks, I don't mind if I do. Waiter, a mug of ale.
All right, Governor.
Sad business, this death of your uncle, eh?
Yes, and so sudden, too. He seemed in excellent health when I dined with him Monday night.
So? And was he also in good spirits? What did he say? Or what was the talk at the dinner Monday night?
Oh, I don't know. The usual general topics.
I see.
My uncle asked about my people. We talked of Australia.
Yes.
Then Mrs. Maltravers asked a lot of questions about East Africa, where I've spent some time. I told them one or two yarns. That's about all, I think.
Madame Maltravers seems much upset at the death of her husband, no?
Naturally. They'd been married less than a year.
So I hear. A remarkable woman, this lady.
Remarkable in what way? What do you mean?
She has, the seeing eye. I hear her tell Hastings. She does the seance. He seems most interested, no, Hastings?
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as that.
Always the conservative, Hastings. Me, I am not so.
Why, Mr. Poirot, don't tell me you believe in this psychic stuff.
Oh, I have not the closed mind. For example, Captain Black, you have told us all that your conscious self knows. Now, with your permission, I would question your subconscious, huh?
Psychoanalysis, eh? Well, it's nonsense, but I don't mind.
Merci. It is like this. I give you a word. You answer with another word. Any word, the first word you think of. Eh bien, shall we begin?
Go ahead.
Hastings, note down the words, please.
Well, very well, Colonel.
Now, day.
Night.
Name.
Place.
Bernard.
Shore.
Monday.
Dinner.
Journey.
Ship.
Country.
Uganda.
Story.
Lions.
Bird gun.
Farm.
Shot.
Suicide.
Elephant.
Tusk.
Money.
Lawyers.
So, that is all. You are a good subject, mon capitaine.
You don't mean to tell me that rigmarole means anything to you?
Maybe not. But nevertheless, you are a good subject.
Well, if you don't need me anymore, I think I'll go upstairs and unpack. Shall I see you again before you leave, Mr. Poirot?
Yes, I should not be surprised.
Good. See you later.
Au revoir, mon capitaine. And now, my clever Hastings, you see it all, no?
Well, I don't know what you mean, Poirot.
Does that list of words tell you nothing?
Sorry, I'm afraid it doesn't.
Then I will assist you. To begin with, the Capitaine answered within the time limit. No pauses, no making up the mind.
Yeah.
Day to night and place to name are normal associations. Then I give him Bernard, the name of the doctor, if he knew him.
Oh.
Evidently he does not. When I say Bernard, he says sure. Monday means dinner, country is Uganda. Story recalls the lion story he tells them. All natural. But now, notice. When I mention bird gun, I get the unexpected answer, farm. When I say shot, he answers at once, suicide. A man he knows commits suicide with a bird gun on a farm somewhere. Imbecile that I am! The great Hercule Poirot is hoodwinked.
What are you talking about?
Do you not see Hastings? That is the story the Captain Black told at the dinner Monday night.
Oh, I see. And you think that gave Maltravers the idea? You think he shot himself in the mouth with that bird gun?
Why not? Remember, the bird gun has a very tiny charge of powder. the bullet would remain lodged in the brain. All that would show would be the blood in the mouth.
Come, Hastings. It is not too late.
Of course, but where?
To see once more this dead man. To Marsden Manor.
Hastings, to Marsden Manor.
Alas, Mrs. Maltravers, it is true. Your husband shot himself through the mouth with the bird gun.
You mean suicide?
It would seem so, madame.
But the insurance...
Naturally, madame, the suicide will void the policy. It is unfortunate, but what will you?
Oh, but this is impossible. My husband would never commit suicide. It's inconceivable.
But the evidence, madame, it is conclusive.
No, there must be some other explanation.
You mean murder, madame? Well, of course, that is always possible. But no, not likely, I'm afraid.
But you do admit it's possible. You just said it was possible.
Yes, of course, everything is possible. Have you any idea who might have wished to kill your husband?
Why, no. No, I haven't.
Madame, I have a suggestion. It is bizarre, no doubt, but perhaps if you are willing to help.
Oh, yes, of course, anything.
Madame, you are mediumistic. Perhaps if you would try...
Perhaps
you could...
you're right. Perhaps I could get through to Richard. He might tell us what happened.
I am sure you could do it, madame.
Yes, I'll do it. Come back here tonight at 8 and bring Captain Black with you.
Eh bien, madame, I am sure you will succeed. Until 8, madame, au revoir.
Hello? You want the article agency? Au revoir. This is Hercule Poirot. Dear, mon ami... Henri, I have a part for you. For one appearance only. Oui, oui, as always. Now listen closely. This is what I wish you to do. Dr. Bernard, this is Hercule Poirot. Tell me, Doctor, when you saw Mr. Maltravers after the stroke, did he have on the shoes? He did? Bien, merci. Hello, Scotland Yard. Inspector Japp, please. Hello, Japp. This is Poirot. Quite well, thank you. Inspector, I think I have a murderer for you. No, there is no time to explain. Be at Marsden Manor, Marsden Lee, at 8 o'clock tonight. Wait outside the window. And do not come in until I call, eh? Good, remember. Marsden Manor at 8.
We are on time, as you see. Hastings and I have brought Captain Black with us.
I say, there's a bad storm coming up. Would that interfere with the experiment?
Certainly not, Mr. Hastings. This isn't mumbo-jumbo. The weather has nothing to do with it.
Well, let us proceed, huh?
Yes. Now, will you draw chairs up around this table, please?
Yes, sure.
Now, Mr. Hastings, if you'll put out the lights.
Certainly.
Now, remain perfectly quiet, please. No matter what you hear or see. Richard. Can you hear me, Richard? Can you hear me? If you can, rap. Rap 3 times. Did you hear that?
Ah, but of course, madame. Did you not tell him to rap 3 times?
That's how Richard always used to knock.
Perhaps he is outside.
No.
They say the suicide never rests, always returns.
Listen. What was that?
The front door slammed.
What? No, Captain Black. It was but the thunder.
Poirot, I hear footsteps.
It's the wind, madame. I will close the door. I have locked it.
Don't do that. If it should open now.
By Jove, it is open.
He's there.
I see nothing, madame.
I saw him, I tell you. My husband, you must have seen him too.
Look. She's right. He is there. His hand. Look, it's pointing. What's that light coming from?
Pointing at her.
What did you... Her hand. Her right hand. It is scarlet with blood.
Blood? Yes, it's blood. I killed him. I did it. Take it away. Take it away.
Light. Good heavens, Poirot. She's got away through that window.
Do not worry, mon capitaine. The good Inspector Japp outside will stop her.
Good heavens, that lovely creature, a murderer.
And a very clever one, my susceptible Hastings. After all, she could not know she would come up against the great Hercule Poirot.
And she might even have fooled me if she had only taken off his shoe.
His shoe, Poirot?
Only with his toe could he himself have pulled the trigger of this bird gun. And parbleu, his shoes were still on when they found him.
But I don't understand. This seance, was it all fake?
Yes, certainly. She meant to pull the sheep.
Wool.
Very well, wool. But it was I who pulled the sheep's wool over her eyes. Thanks to my good friend Henri Dubois, who played the part of the husband's ghost, and Papa Poirot, who put the red paint on her hand in the dark.
But what was her idea in having this seance?
Parbleu, mon capitaine. Do you not see? Madame, she will go into the trance. She will hear the voice. She will come out from the trance. She will, with great reluctance, name the murderer.
You mean she meant to confess?
Mais non, mon capitaine. She meant to name you.
You have been listening to Murder Clinic. Murder Clinic, the WOR Mutual series which brings to you each week one exciting case. Tonight, the tragedy of Marsden Manor with Agatha Christie's unique detective Hercule Poirot, played by Maurice Tartlam. Next week, Murder Clinic will bring you Fred Irving Anderson's Deputy Farr, the Vermont farmer who became chief of the Homicide Bureau in New York City. Deputy Farr, the man with the nose for murder. The story is Gulfstream Green, in which the deputy proves that the conceit of murderers is colossal.
Murder Clinic, presenting Agatha Christie's The Tragedy of Marsden Manor, which was first published in Sketch Magazine of London in 1924 and was part of the short story collection Poirot Investigates, released in that same year. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. We now continue with Suspense, a CBS radio broadcast from January 20th, 1955. This episode being a repeat performance from October of 1951, the story, The Case Study of a Murderer, with William Conrad, Charlotte Lawrence, and Anthony Ellis, producer-director.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, the story of a man who insisted upon finishing the murder he never committed. We call it Study of a Murderer. So now, starring Charlotte Lawrence and William Conrad, here is tonight's suspense play, Study of a Murderer.
It's funny to be married to a man 3 years, find out he's kept secrets from you. Not secrets like drinking or cards or women. Hank was never like that. I mean, he was like two different men, really two men. He kept it even a secret from himself. That's what I'm beginning to understand. Because the man I knew, loved, was a wonderful, sweet husband. The doctor says, he says the baby coming on its way, he won't inherit it because nobody can inherit Hank's kind of trouble, his sickness. And I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just telling you, that's all. I never asked for help. Neither did Hank. Oh, no, he did ask. In the only way he could. He tried to ask, to let me know. But it was too late. It was last spring. It was that day he came home so upset. Hank? That you? Hi, darling.
Hi.
Good day at work?
Yeah, sure.
Have something real good for dinner. What are the headlines?
What do you mean?
I mean, what's the headline in the paper?
Murder?
What?
The headline. Didn't you ask me what the headlines were?
Oh, yes, honey, sure. What is it? Don't you feel well?
What should it be? What's it always? The paper's jammed up to here with murder and killing all the time. A man comes home from work and it... Oh, work's hard enough, but a man comes home and he sees pictures and columns on a mother and a baby. Killed down near the lake. A mother and a baby murdered. It's sickening.
But Hank was always like that, one way or another. He gets upset like that when the pressure's too heavy. When it lets up, he's okay again. Except it didn't let up. Not this time, because a couple of weeks later it really hit.
Well, it's my last paycheck. The boom dropped.
Oh, no.
Yeah, me and about eight other guys.
Oh, Hank, I'm sorry.
You know, it makes a guy think he doesn't count for much.
That's not true, darling.
You begin to think on a job that maybe they can't get along without you, that you're pretty important, and the whole place would fold if you left. And then, poof, bye-bye, sonny boy.
Maybe they had a good reason.
Oh, yeah, sure. You say it, and they say it, and that's right. Only something inside me says that it just got kicked, and I don't amount to much at all. Not much at all. Well, I'm plenty, see? I'm plenty.
Yes, darling, I know you are.
Yeah, but then I figure I'm kind of lucky, too. Kind of.
We both are.
Luckier than the poor guy whose wife got killed with a baby. Luckier than him.
Hank, you can't go on getting upset by that. You can't.
Not that one, another. There's been a second killing here in Lincoln Park, just like the first one, and the papers are full of it.
Wouldn't you like your dinner? Hank, will you please stop reading about those murders? Hank, you're not listening.
What? Oh, sure I am.
Why don't we go to the beach? Wouldn't it be swell? Or the amusement park. Remember last year we went? That was fun. You winning the Cupid doll and all. It was fun, wasn't it, darling? It was. Can't you stop looking at that paper for a minute?
I just wanted to find when there's a news broadcast. There must be one on now.
No.
What?
We've had enough of those murders. You have to stop thinking about them all the time, every minute. That's all you think about. You've got to stop.
Don't tell me what to do. Not like that. Ever.
Oh, Hank, I... I'm sorry, darling. I said I'm sorry if I said...
An action which is virtually unprecedented.
The chief of police says it's almost impossible to tell where the maniac will strike next. There have been a few clues to indicate the man was probably in the area of Lincoln Park.
I didn't know what was happening to Hank. I guess a man gets kind of dizzy just from being alive sometimes. From being hit too many times by too many things. All kinds of things. Half of them I didn't understand and still don't all the way. But I should have understood. 3 months later, that summer night, 3 months later...
Look at him. Look at all these papers. All the same story of everybody running around getting no place.
Hank, must you bring all the papers home? Couldn't you read them at Walgreens?
No. No, I couldn't. bums read the papers for free, and I'm no bum. I got a wife, and I'm no bum. What are you accusing me of, that I'm not a good husband?
No, Hank, no. No, but I'm not accusing you of anything. You mustn't think that.
You act like I did something wrong. Not like I'm just out of work, but like I was almost a murderer. Like I was that murderer they're all looking for. Oh, it's hot. It's too hot in here.
Would you like a cold glass of beer?
Yeah. Beer. Nice, tall glass of beer. Only not here. Not in this house. At Marty's on the corner. That's the place for a beer.
But it costs so much more.
Yeah, I know. I know, darling. But I just got to get out of here. I got to get with people.
Oh, yes, darling, of course. I have a few dollars. I've been saving it for celebration. Let's do it. It'll be fun. I only had $3.28. Funny to remember it exactly like that. $3.28 that I slipped into his pocket when he wasn't looking. And we had beer with the jukebox banging away and me shaking inside. Shaking. I just kept sipping my one beer and watching Hank. Maybe waiting for him to smile or to make a joke. Then I'd know everything was okay. But he never smiled. Didn't even talk. Just drank beer and glared. You know what at? Himself, in the mirror. Just glared at himself until he stood up.
Gonna go.
All right, darling. Let's go.
No. Me. By myself.
But, Hank, you're kind of tight, darling. Kind of.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, let me take your arm.
Don't pull me.
Please. Please, Hank.
I said don't pull me. Now leave me alone. I'm getting out of here.
He almost ran out of the place. I knew if I followed him, I'd see something terrible, but I had to know. I had to know if what I guessed was true. And then I saw him rush up to a cop on Lake Street and scream something at him. I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear it all, and a crowd was there in no time.
I killed him.
Please. Oh, please, let me through. I'm his wife. I'm his wife. Oh, please.
Please,
let me through. Oh, Hank. Hank, darling, Hank. Officer, please, he didn't do anything, officer.
I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand the killing and the murder anymore. I did it. I did it.
I waited in that police station for hours. I waited and wondered because no one told me anything except one man. He gave me a cigarette and talked to me. And then hours, oh, hours and hours later, he called me into his office.
Sit down, Mrs. Lathrop.
Can't I see him? Can't I?
In a few minutes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Mr.
Doctor. Dr. Broughton. I told you hours ago in the outside office. Did you hear me then?
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember.
And the rest of what I told you?
Please let me see him. He didn't do any harm. He didn't kill anyone. He didn't kill anyone.
We know he didn't, Mrs. Lathrop.
What? You know? You're sure you know?
Please listen to me.
He didn't kill anybody.
But he could. He might.
How can you say that? Haven't I been through enough? Don't say that to me.
He confessed to two murders he didn't commit. He admitted to two murders he had no part of.
Then he didn't do wrong. Nothing wrong.
Will you permit your husband to take treatment?
You're saying he should be put away. You're saying he's crazy.
I'm saying he has an illness. I'm saying he's sick. And he can be cured now. Maybe not later, but now he can.
No. All he needs is love and kindness.
Only words. They have no meaning to him right now. They might have had once, but not now. He should be treated. I should bring him before a board and have him undergo therapy.
I'll fight you. I'll work day and night to get the money, but I'll fight you with lawyers to keep you from disgracing him like that.
You don't have to. As a doctor, I say he's dangerous, but no court would uphold me. He hasn't committed any overt act. To all appearances, he's normal.
He is. He is normal.
He isn't. But we can't make him accept help. You're the only one who can do that.
No.
He can be cured now.
No.
He confessed to murders he imagines he's committed.
He needs love, not psycho doctors like you.
He might easily commit murder if he doesn't get help.
Take me to my husband.
A month, 6 months, a year, I don't know when, but he'll kill Mrs. Lathrop. He'll kill.
I took him right home. Sleep. He needed sleep. More sleep than he could ever get. And I sat by the bed all that time. All the time wiping his face with cold cloth and waiting.
I did.
Waiting and kissing him when he'd start that awful moaning.
I did.
Love was all he needed. That's what I was so sure about then. So awful sure while he slept like he'd been hit or something. For 16 hours, 16 straight hours, and I knew he'd be fine. Just fine. He couldn't kill. Not Hank. Oh, no, he'd be fine. I remembered from a magazine or something. I turned on the radio. I remember that music helps people who were upset, kind of. So I turned it on real soft.
Beth?
Yes, darling?
What time is it?
8:30, about.
I've been sleeping long?
It's 8:30 in the night.
Oh. You know why I did it.
It's not important.
No, but it is.
No, darling. No, it is. It's past. It doesn't make any difference.
Showing off, that's what it was. Showing them up. The cops, I mean.
Whatever your reason was, it was yours. It's all right, honey.
You don't believe me. You don't believe I did it to show them up.
Whatever your reason.
Well, it was. It was the only reason.
Lie back, darling. Lie back and rest, Hank.
The disgrace. It's a real disgrace. I'm nothing. Like a kid, I even feel like I could cry.
Cry, darling. A man isn't weak if he cries. Just had too much happen to him. Like women have too much happen. Like anybody. Cry. You'll feel better, baby. You will. You will.
I'm weak. No woman likes a man who's weak.
No woman likes a man who can't admit he's weak sometimes.
But you never saw me cry. I never cried before. I never cried when I was a kid, even. Never.
I love you, darling. You have to know that. I love you.
You wouldn't leave me, would you?
Never.
And you don't believe what that doctor said?
What doctor?
At the police, that doctor.
What did he tell you?
Nothing, but I got the idea. I smelled it. I figured out what he was driving at.
Well, he didn't say much to me.
Oh, he's a liar. For publicity. All those guys are alike. Anything for publicity. Well, I can't blame him. I did it for publicity. Really, that's why I... No, don't believe me. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why.
Because you had too many bad things happen in a row. Because you had too much beer, too much hit you, too much all at once.
I don't know why. I felt like somebody should be punished for all those terrible, terrible murders. Like somebody should. Somebody had to.
Listen, we'll move from Chicago. Maybe change our name.
But run away?
Not run away. Leave. Put it all in back of us.
Run away like I did something wrong?
I told you not run away. Don't twist what I'm saying. I only said
that I should run away from here with you and let them push us away.
Well, nobody pushes me around.
No, Hank, I know that. Nobody does.
And nobody leads me places like I was a kid.
Well, it was only a suggestion.
Did that doctor tell you to say that to me?
No, I told you. The doctor didn't tell me anything.
You're lying. You're keeping things from me. He must have told you something.
He didn't, not really. He just said for me to take good care of you, that's all.
What else did he say?
Why, I don't know. Huh? Nothing. Just...
What else? Tell me!
I don't know. Oh!
Do you want to turn him over to me, Mrs. Lathrop?
No, not that.
Well, then, why did you come to see me?
For advice.
You've done what you could. Why don't you make him submit to care, Mrs. Lathrop? There's still time.
Only if he wants to.
He'll never agree. Not now. Not by himself.
He will. He has to.
Logic doesn't reach him very well.
This is something more than logic, more than doctors or anything else. He'll want to get cured when he knows he's going to be a father. Well, Doctor? Don't you figure it that way, too, Doctor?
Don't tell him.
Not tell him? Not tell him we're going to have a child, something we both wanted so much.
It might have the wrong effect right now.
Oh, no, it'll make him stronger, make him more sure of himself.
It makes some men stronger. It can make others weaker, less sure, less certain.
Is that all the advice you can give me, not to tell him, not to tell my husband he's going to be a father?
Tell me honestly, Mrs. Lathrop, do you feel he's getting better or worse?
That's not fair.
Will you talk to him about getting treatment?
I'm not promising anything.
Will you mention the baby?
I said no promises.
If he slaps you again, will you call me?
Goodbye.
It may be your life and his and your child's, Mrs. Lathrop.
When I came home, he didn't even look up. He just kept staring at his hands. I decided maybe I'd let him talk first, so I sat in a chair near the window. Wasn't much to see with the buildings all close in. The air smelled good. I waited until I almost wanted to scream. Then for no reason, he got up and went into the kitchen and washed his hands. Then he came back.
A way out. I gotta figure a way out.
Listen, honey. Listen, everything's going to work out fine.
No, I'll figure it out. It's a man's job to figure it out. I don't need any help. It's a man's job to figure it out.
Hank? Hank, I was wondering if maybe we don't need some other help.
What kind of help?
I mean, like...
What kind? What kind? What kind?
Oh, stop talking like that.
Like what? Like I'm addled, huh? Like that?
No.
Yes.
Hank... There are places that help when it gets too tough to figure
things. No help. I don't need any help.
Well, it wouldn't hurt.
It's dirty.
Oh, Hank, please try to understand, Hank. I'm
dirty science.
Well, it isn't. It isn't.
In a magazine. I was reading in a magazine, and it's a dirty, filthy science. It's not even a science.
But they lied. It is a science.
No? Well, what do you know? What do you know about anything? You can't even keep a house.
What's wrong with it, Hank? What would you like me to do? Just tell
it's
me.
It's dirty. Like everything else is dirty.
I'll clean it every day and I'll wash it.
Nothing will get it clean. Ever clean again.
Oh, Hank, don't talk like that. You scare me, Hank. Please don't talk like
that. We're both dirty. We were all born dirty. We'll never get clean.
Oh, listen to me. Listen. You have to come with me.
Why? Because you ask. Why for you?
For our baby, Hank. For the baby.
Baby. Baby!
Oh,
no. No, come on. Come out here. Listen, you. You lied to me. You lied to me. You cheated and lied to me. You lied to me.
It was the first thing I saw. A silly china cubic doll on my dresser. I picked it up, and then I hit him. Hit him! Hit him! Again! Again! Again!
Maybe he'll get over it. Maybe his sickness hadn't gone on too long. Maybe 1,000,000,000 maybes and ifs and prayers. Dr. Broughton, he said it would be all right. He said the baby would be all right. It will be. It must be.
Suspense, in which Charlotte Lawrence and William Conrad starred in Study of a Murderer by Arthur Ross. Next week, the story of fear in surgery. We call it The Operation. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. The music was composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Featured in the cast were Herb Butterfield and Larry Thor. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
From the Columbia Broadcasting System, that was Suspense, first heard on January 20th, 1955. That brings to an end this hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.